Good morning. You're listening to Central Wisconsin's 24-hour information station, WFHR. It's time now for the Morning Magazine.
Welcome, everyone, to Morning Magazine for this January 18th, 2023. It is 10:05 on the clock, and you have your host, James J. Maloff, here. At 10:30, we're going to welcome in Stephanie Hartman, Executive Director at the Central Wisconsin Cultural Center. Looking forward to catching up with her. Right now, looking forward to catching up with our good friend, Wisconsin Rapids Mayor Shane Blazer. Good morning, sir.
Good morning, James.
Good to see you. How you been?
I'm well, thank you. How you been?
I'm doing good. We want to send a big shout-out to Taylor and our friends at Wisconsin Rapids Community Media. Hello to them. Encourage you to type into your search bar on YouTube, Wisconsin Rapids Community Media. Subscribe to their page. Keep up to date with all the great things they got going on over there. How has the start of the new year been for you, sir?
It's been good.
Yeah,
eventful.
Yeah.
You know,
it's I like that you thought about it first.
It's kind of our quiet time of the year in the sense of, you know, at least at City Hall. But, you know, our road construction or our street department's busy with snow and all those kind of things usually.
Yeah.
So knock on wood.
Yes.
But tomorrow it should be coming back apparently. So we'll have to wait and see.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I want to get to that with you. But before we go too far into 23, I do want to review a little bit of 2022. And I actually want to specifically talk about the year in construction, the year in orange cones. This past year, every summer, and we understand how this works in the Midwest, we only got so many months we can work on these roads before Mother Nature comes in and covers them. So we got to get work done. And I think every summer is pretty busy when it comes to construction. This year, a little bit, I don't know if it was more busy or more projects were being done, but it certainly felt like it was.
Yeah, this year Jackson Street was done, but that was not our project. It was a state project, so that was out for bid. So we did a little work there, but a bulk of that work was done by a contractor. So, you know, it made us look a little busier. And then right out down the road here, you know, we're doing a levee project and redoing some railings. So there's a little more visibility. And so there was a few more projects going on.
How did the timing of those go? I know, you know, you give these projects a little bit of wiggle room there, saying that we'd like it to end here, but, you know, we understand the construction and the weather. You get a rainy day, you can't get out there. How were they timing-wise? Did they work out pretty well that way?
Yeah, we've got, Bob and the construction crew, they do a fantastic job, and they're very experienced, and which really helps a lot. But I think up on 9th Avenue, it was decided to stop that project at a point because they didn't think they would get done in time. So it just made sense to be cautious, stop, instead of having people have an open road and kind of a mess all winter long. They ran into some rock there, so and they had to take more time to try to get, because we want the pipes at a certain depth so you can avoid the freezing cycle, and you know, once freezing happens, then you have water main breaks, and so they like to get to a certain depth and then we're good to go. So that project was paused until spring, and then they'll pick up from there when they take off again. And it was a good idea. We talked about it, and you know, I concurred with them that it was a good time to stop.
Yeah, anybody who's worked on a construction project has been experienced something like that before, you know, especially with land, with the ground. I remember back in when nowadays they've got a lot more equipment that can do a lot of these things, but back in the early days, for me, with construction, it was kind of like, all right, nope, not here. Okay, we're good, we can go. It was just kind of like feeling it out and figuring it out from there.
Exactly.
So how about 2023 construction-wise? Is the planning starting to begin there? Has that already begun? Are there you mentioned the project there. Is that something that we're going to be coming back to in 23?
So, yeah, we'll pick up there in 2023. A big project this year is Oak Street, pretty much from Jackson all the way to 16th. So that's a very long road for us to do. So that will take up a bulk of the construction season. There are some other projects on that list, and they seem to escape me at the moment, but so most of the plans are done for that, and they're starting to look at ordering materials. I know, like, not 2023, but 2024, Lincoln Street is going to be a big, you know, a project that's long overdue.
Really?
If you've ever ridden on Lincoln Street from the expressway down to Grand Avenue, it's not the smoothest ride. And so they're already designing and working on that project and, you know, doing surveying and have been doing surveying there. So they're kind of starting to think about 2024 also at this point.
Nice.
And so, yeah, they're doing a good job there. And I guess plans are pretty close to near done. At 90%, and
nice.
Which is good. So we should hit the ground running.
Budget-wise, things staying on pace too?
Yes. Yep. You know, cost of materials are kind of always that question because when you really don't know the cost until you buy them. We're even finding that with buying heavy equipment or trucks and dump trucks, they might be 2 years out before you get them. You order them now, you won't get them for 2 years. So it doesn't really work good in government budgeting when you're buying something now and you're not going to see it for a couple of years. And that becomes a struggle in how to handle that. Or even what we're learning is even trying to get pricing. They won't give you pricing until they go to manufacture it. So you might approve to buy a piece of equipment and you really don't know what you're paying for until maybe 6 months later. Because once it goes into production, then you'll kind of get a price then.
Yeah.
Things are kind of different right now.
Especially when so much comes down to budgeting. It's such a big part of your job, the people that work with you at the City Hall and everything. Everything is starts and ends with a budget.
Yeah, and we go to take it through the process through the Finance Committee and to the Council for their approval, but you're really not getting it for a while. You're trying to approve something that might be a certain... It's kind of a mess now.
Well, it's interesting because every representative we've had on, I've wondered this. Katrina Shankly was joining us last week, but the week before that, I had Scott and Representative Krug.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm talking to both of them and about these things. And then I realized, like, so much of that job, your job, their jobs, all these things, political jobs in general, it's faith. It is such a hope kind of thing where I expect, I hope these things will happen, but there are no guarantees. And that's a tough thing. That's kind of a tough position to be in. And as citizens, I don't think we look at it that way often. It's usually, I want, gimme, what have you done for me lately? A lot of that stuff. When the job is not built that way, like if you're doing the job right, you can't just snap your fingers and everything gets done. That's a dictatorship. That's a whole different ball game.
And when you're trying to be responsible for the dollars and trying to, you know, weigh the needs versus the wants, and if you don't know what things cost, for me, it's very uncomfortable because I would like to know, like, hey, we're committing to buy this at this price. I don't want to commit to buy something for an unknown price in the future. You know, it just does not, to me, that is very uncomfortable.
It is the way we got to maneuver right now, though.
Right. Yep.
One of the big things coming up right now is tree removal. A lot of that. So I wanted to touch on that really quick. We have tree removal dates coming up, I believe.
Oh, the Christmas tree days.
Yeah, Christmas tree days, yes.
I just had it up the other day looking for somebody to. But it is coming up.
Yeah, and I know.
Maybe it's this week even, or is it next week?
Let me double check, because my computer is not working for me. I had it up. Tree removal is January 23rd through the 27th.
So that's this week.
That's going on. So trees must have all decorations and all lights removed.
Correct.
Wanted to remind people, one of the better ways to do this, if you're bringing the tree down there, the stump kind of towards the street.
Correct.
That's one thing. I don't know if there's any other things, any other tips, any other things we should be mentioning to people. If you can wrap them, it's always very good to do, you know, some twine, some rope, whatever you
easily
can do.
Easily accessible. Don't like stick it in the high snowbank in your yard and kind of like have a tree in the yard because you don't want them to have to go fetch it. So, making it easily accessible so they're not well, at least right now, we don't have to crawl over too many snowbanks, but, you know, making it accessible and easy for them to get it. It's much appreciated.
Yeah, and it's going to, and plus, if you want the tree actually removed, doing these things is going to make it more likely that it will actually happen and everything.
And it's more efficient. They can get it done quicker and move on to other things, too. So
right. We're speaking with Wisconsin Rapids Mayor Shane Blazer, and I certainly wanted to talk about the snow removal process. Tomorrow, it looks like we're going to get bombarded again. Old Man Winter is never going to let us up, really. We know that. It could be April, and we're still looking over our shoulder waiting for a snowfall and everything.
Yeah, especially in April.
How are we looking this year, not just budget-wise, but with drivers, plowers, you know, icers, these things? How are we looking in that department?
So the guys are out working, and the crews are, and you know what we run into in some struggle, and there's been plenty of feedback about the side roads, how ice and bad they are, and you know, on a nice day, why aren't we out cleaning up the side roads? And you know, the last nice kind of stretch of weather we had, our street department guys were working midnight to noon, pulling out all the snow downtown. So during that nice time, they were resting to get ready for the next pullout.
Yeah.
So that kind of got away from us, and but yeah, it's the side streets that we struggle with, and kind of ran some this morning, and they're much better today. But you know, they're trying to get salt down on there and take advantage of some nice weather coming. But yeah, our side streets we always struggle with, and I think you know people say go to this community and that community and drive down their side streets. Well, when you do, they still every community struggles with side streets.
Yeah.
Yeah, we would like every one of our roads to be clear like the main roads are, but there's not enough money in the budget, there's not enough equipment, and there's not enough people to be able to do that all the time. Because it takes about 10 hours to plow the whole city, all the roads and everything. So, you know, it's just not feasible to do every single road, every single snowfall.
I think a lot of people can get to that thought. I think there's a lot of grown adults out there that don't act like children, that you know shake their fists in the air and why not me and all this stuff. I think, but what really helps is things like you just said there. It takes about 10 hours to you know shovel the whole town and everything. Mm-hmm. Those kind of like stats that helps. I think people. I think that helps them rational or realize a little bit more of that. And I got to think, too, that if you are, first off, if you've been in this state for more than a year, you understand what winter brings.
Right.
If you have been in this area for over a year and you've lived in this certain area, whatever, whether it's a tucked away area or it's on a main road, mm-hmm. you understand how this works. Mm-hmm. And you have to kind of work around that. It's just life. I mean, as you said, we'd love to be able to do all these different things. We'd also love to be able to do this and this and this project and that kind of thing. You do what you can. But that part seems very challenging just for you, for the decision makers. Because it's one thing for us as citizens to say, hey, our road or hey, our street or this street over here where my uncle lives or something like that. But you got to make that decision for everybody.
Yeah, and the council has adopted a snow policy, and so every year they kind of review it in the fall. And so, you know, if we're not happy with it, we can talk to our alderpersons. However, you know, I believe if there's, and if I remember correctly, if there's 4 inches or more, we'll plow all the streets. If it's 2 inches, we'll only plow the main kind of road. So the thought process is that if you live in a subdivision or off the kind of beaten path, you can at least get to a main road relatively quickly, and then you'll have a clear driving spot. But it's kind of the numbers they use, and you know, it's kind of a balance. And but yeah, I just think that there's just not enough equipment and people to plow every road every time. And
It's part of the reason why we appreciate so much citizens helping citizens. Mm-hmm. You know, when you see you know your elderly neighbor across the street, you could bring your plow over there and do it. We see that all the time, and it's greatly appreciated. Mm-hmm. It never gets old to me seeing those things happen.
So now what I've noticed, you know, driving on some of the side roads today is that people have frozen humps of plow at the end of their driveway because they went and plowed on a nice day, and then it froze solid. And so... Yeah, so now they've got to go over that. So it's kind of, then we hear complaints on that end, and so you never win on that.
And you're never going to. No. I mean, it's snow. Mm-hmm. It boggles my mind sometimes of the people who will push back on those things. And it's like you realize you're 50-some years old. You've dealt with snow. You understand what we're dealing with here.
Yeah, Wisconsin's going to snow.
Yeah. We're all doing the best we can with this stuff, too. Mm-hmm. That's I think, needs to be considered as well.
Yeah, and just as we know, this weather this year, once again, is crazy how warm it is out and how nice it is for January. But we'll see below zero yet, I'm sure.
I wanted to talk about the state's shared revenue with you. I know that's been a topic recently. Mm-hmm. Why has it been a topic recently?
Well, there's talks that there might be with the surplus that communities will see additional funding. There's also talks that they're trying to maybe look at the formula that they use to figure out shared revenue has not been updated. It's kind of archaic. And so, you know, those discussions are going on, trying to, you know, hopefully make it more equitable on people's portion of shared revenue, and since it hasn't been updated. And Yeah, and so now it's just kind of a lot of talk right now, and just kind of waiting to see what's going to really kind of become of it. And but for me, you know, I've been asked, you know, if we see any additional funding, you know, at this point. From I'm not a big fluffy guy. I've always been. I'm clearly known for that, not big wild projects. So any project, any extra money we get, I you know, roads or we need infrastructure, and we need to put into our roads and into a, you know, we've Paul Vollert and Joe Eichstead are working on a pavement replacement program. So with the transportation utility, degradation fees, and any other money we get, put it into mill and overlay and those kind of improving ride quality on roads that have great infrastructure yet, but the ride quality is really bad. And so working on, you know, earmarking those dollars for the worst roads. And so they've been evaluating and putting together a list of priorities on roads that need a pavement replacement or a mill and overlay type thing to get that money earmarked for those projects coming up this next year.
I think it's I know it's part of the reason why you were voted in twice, is that kind of thinking, and I also think that it's if you have a house and you buy a pool, the next summer you're not buying another pool. You've right. got a pool. You've already got that. Mm-hmm. I think that as far as like extracurricular things and stuff, our area has a good portion of that. You could always maybe use more or maybe tinker with something here. We mm-hmm. certainly have the dog park, and we're going to talk about that in a little bit, but. Once that stuff's kind of done, you got the pool, that kind of thing. Well, now let's go ahead and take care of the rest of the house. Mm-hmm. The siding's coming down, like those yeah. things. Like so, to have you in office and to be the kind of mindset you have with that, I think mm-hmm. that it's necessary, especially coming out of a pandemic, which I know nobody likes that word. Nobody wants right. to talk about it. We moved on. We were out past the pandemic.
Yep.
We were just talking about prices and not knowing what price I order this, and mm-hmm. I don't know if it's going to be that price when I pay for it or whatever.
Exactly.
We're still dealing with the run of that and mm-hmm. the runoff of that. Mm-hmm. This stuff matters when it comes to, okay, well, how are we going to stay on budget, and how are we going to increase our budget next year? How are we going to stay in the black? You know, these things. Mm-hmm. All that stuff, I don't want to say anything about previous regimes or anything, but this is about now, and that's what we need right now, is we need those the checks and balances.
Absolutely. You know, each mayor, each representative, each governor, it's kind of about what we need now, and that's what people elect. And so I guess this is my time, and eventually, as I know and everybody know, my time will come to an end, whether it's on my own or the people decide that. But yeah, just for me, everybody knows me going into it. And there's people that think I'm not frugal enough, you know, so it's you're trying to find that balance.
Yeah.
And you know,
you just can't win.
No, you can't. But yeah, you know, I'm just not going to spend. We're not in a position or a place to do the next great project. You know, I think infrastructure has really got to be our priority right now in our road system. And
I know recently, this was when you were first elected, and I want to say it was a couple of months in. Now that you said that, I think I did hear somebody say something along those lines, not like saying that because you had just gotten into office, mm-hmm. so they certainly weren't saying something that you were doing already, mm-hmm. but that they were a concern of that. Well, I said to him, like, if he's going to do these things, and you have the things that you said you were going to do, you have done them as far as infrastructure and focusing on a lot of that and getting the budget in balance and that. These are the things that you have done. You do those things, and that will bring people into town. That will keep people in town. You can have the greatest businesses. You can have Amazon in this town. And yeah, that'd be great, and jobs and all this stuff. How many people are going to live here if the roads aren't any good, if the schools aren't run well, if the roads aren't paved, you know, all these things. Amazon ain't coming to a town like that. Mm-hmm. So you really want those things to happen. You've got to take care of this stuff first. Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
That stuff is the real money maker. It doesn't take a lot of digging to find out what cities are growing and prospering and what ones aren't and the differences of them. I've mentioned many times about the dogs and the dog park and everything, and again, we'll get to that in a second. But one of the major things that people are looking for is safety and safe roads and that kind of stuff. This stuff adds to that. I'm going to move to a town that is going to have those things much more likely than I am to a place that isn't.
Yeah, you know, we've been meeting with state engineers and I've made phone calls to the governor's office. A Street has to be redone. It is to me and anybody that drives on A Street, and I even say even parts of the expressway have hit their end of life, in my opinion. And so we've been working a lot with state engineers, and A Street will get done. It will get done hopefully within the next less than the next decade, but and we keep pushing to get that pushed up, but it will be getting done here, and it's just not fast enough for me, to be honest.
Yeah, and I every time we talk about it, I feel the frustration in your voice. I don't like you being frustrated, sir, but I actually like that energy in you, though. Yeah, it's how it's going to get this done.
Well, I drive. We all drive to other communities, and you see road construction going on in our main roads, and you know those are connecting highways, and the state's involved in them, and it's like, you know, ours, I think, have been passed over long enough, and any chance I can get, I'm going to spew a little bit and say that, you know, A Street needs to get done, and and it's overdue, and anybody that rides on it and falls in one of the craters there knows that it's long overdue. And even coming in by Tractor Supply, that black mastic is, it's good because it seals up the road, but it's just a rough ride, and it's just, we keep putting band-aids on a thing that is a gaping wound, in my opinion. And
are you hopeful about it getting done in the next couple of years? Or
I think 2028 we'll see a section of it done, and then shortly after that we'll see the other section done. So I'm hoping from city limits south to about Qdoba or to just by the expressway there, that they'll be done. But I'm going to keep pushing. That'll be hopefully sooner than that.
Right on. I wanted to wrap up talking about the dog park.
Yes.
And the progress in that and everything, how that's going.
So I was spent probably an hour out there before I came here. Right on. So walking around. They've done a bulk of the deadfall cleanup, and it's all kind of been windrows, and a company's coming in that does our chipping at our compost sites, and they're going to come in and chip that. And we kind of, it's arrangement. They come and chip it, and they take it away, and we don't get charged for the chipping and so the work. And so that's great. And Taylor here has done some drone footage when we first acquired the property made the plan to do a dog park there. And I believe today he's going to go out and fly it again. Really? So we're hopefully he's going to put together a presentation showing the transition. There's a gentleman out there today who's cutting the fence lines in through the woods and everything. He's got this piece of equipment, and so it's coming right along.
Oh, that's exciting.
That's it is. Really cool. I'm kind of walking around. It's really exciting. There's going to be a big open space. I think it's probably the large dog's about 7 acres and the small dog's a couple acres. And it's going to be a great space. They ran the water line the other day, so the line's in there because we're going to have water into that park. And then, you can see the fence line starting to develop when you're on the ground in there. And
It's an exciting thing for the community, for all of our dog owners, our dog lovers out there. And really, so my fur brother Sam listens to all these interviews, and he's been on me about this and wanting this dog park and everything, wants to go check out the dog park. I'm like, Sam, it'll happen. Just, you know, be patient. But dogs are not very patient.
No, and so inside the fence line, we're going to kind of leave inside space, which will ultimately, I think, become a walking trail. And so it'll be a nice walking trail that people will be able to walk on and then let their dogs just run. And I got to figure out how many times around the park it'll take. We figure 2 or 3 times it'll be a mile. And we see that becoming very popular.
What a great combination of things there. It is not only exciting, but it's something for people to look forward to, especially as we're going through these colder months here and everything, having something to think about in the spring and the summer. That's really cool for our area. It's some great work. A big shout out to everybody that worked on this project.
Yeah, it's been definitely a team effort from our engineering, our street department, the construction crew. They were able to operate their heavy equipment and get out there and do a lot of good work. And it's fantastic. Our park and rec crews.
I wanted to mention to where I get a lot of my information and a lot of my questions for my interviews. I get from the city's website, and I encourage you to go there for any questions you might have. They've got a lot of other good things on there, especially wanted to make sure I mentioned the American Legion Post 9 and City of Wisconsin Rapids Veterans Honor Walk. They're looking for renewals.
Yep, that's one of the things on my list too, is that we want to make sure that everybody knows that they are taking renewals to do banners again this year along Grand Avenue. And it's a great event, and I think more importantly, the money raised there is used for veterans and veteran activities. So I think it's a very worthwhile cause, and Absolutely. What a great way to you know, kind of show off your family member and in this honor walk. So yes, that's out there.
The 2023 Veterans Honor Walk renewals, and more information you can find in about all the other subjects we've talked about today at wirapids.org. If people have follow-up questions, want to ask other things, how can they do that, sir?
You can always call my phone, 715-421-8202.
Always a good conversation. Looking forward to the next month already. Thank you for the time, sir.
Thanks, James.
Big thank you to Taylor and our friends at Wisconsin Rapids Community Media as well. Thank you so much for the good work you guys do. We'll take a break right here. We'll come back and have some more fun on Morning Magazine here at WFHR.